Your exhibit, Unravel, is a year-long series of photos of one particular subject, a ball of string. Did you end up taking a single photo every day?
I did. The string sort of became sort of this central importance for me. It was kind of at a point, this body of work's been happening for sort of on and off for a couple of years now, but I was kind of at a point where I was feeling a little sort of dried up as an artist and wasn't sure where I wanted to go next with my work. And sometimes when I start to feel that way, it's good to just give yourself sort of an exercise to do, sort of just something to get you looking and seeing and using the camera. And so I had this little ball of twine in my studio. It seemed interesting to me. I'd used string and rope and things like that before in my images, and so I sort of had this affinity towards the material itself anyway. So I just sort of gave myself this challenge of, each day I'd come into the studio, I'd pick up the ball of twine and kind of roll it around in my hand, sort of rework it, and then I would set it down. I had this little sort of mini shooting table set up, so that stayed the same every day. And I just put the twine down, and then I just get my camera out and start working with it, start, looking at it from different angles. And it was a relatively small little ball of twine. I mean, it could fit in the palm of my hand. And so I was using a macro lens that could get me really close and sort of enlarge everything about that ball of twine. And so each day I just come in and do this over and over and over again. And so, each day was a new composition. It was something new, even though I was working with the same material in the same space. But each day was like something new, sort of just to see. And it kind of got me excited. And I just continued with it. It started out just as this creative exercise. But the more I did it, the more I started to really just find a lot of beauty in this really simple, elegant form that I worked with every day.
And at what point did you know that you were onto something?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like I said before, I'd worked with similar materials before in other bodies of work. And so I guess at some point I just kind of put two and two together and thought, this seems to be coming up a lot in my work, this sort of visual material of rope and twine. And I started to think about what that might mean or what that meant to me, personally. And so I tried to think about these little compositions that I was making every day, these individual images of twine, and what was it really about? And so for me, it really started to tie into things that I'd explored in my work before, things like memory and thought and sort of the uniqueness of experience, all sort of these bigger things that I think about as an artist anyway. And so I think when I started to connect it to my work in general, what I was doing every day in this exercise, when it started to connect to my much broader interest as an artist, that's when I sort of, it was kind of like the aha moment, of this could actually turn into something and sort of become a larger body of work.
So it represents the raveling and unraveling of the mind, kind of the changing of thoughts and feelings and expressions, things like that?
Yeah, exactly. So the title, Unravel, so if something unravels, then that sort of, it also means that at one point something was raveling up, right? So there's this back and forth of something being built up, sort of created, and then sort of the destruction of that thing, the unraveling of something. And so for me, in my work, but also in my life, that related to a lot of different things, sort of, I've always dealt with memory a lot in my work. And so the idea of, how we build memories, how we create memories through experiences, but then, how memories change over time, how they sometimes unravel as we get older, as we move through time, how things change. So it was definitely about that process of, creation and destruction in some ways.
And taking a look at these images, they're similar, obviously. It's the same ball of twine. You've rolled it up and set it down. But when you look a little bit more closely, and I can see what you mean by that macro lens, you can see subtle differences in all of the photos. Walk us through your process on this project.
So I think when you... you know, when you look through a lens like this, it's like a whole other world. You know, you're looking at this tiny object, and all of a sudden, all the tiny little details, the texture of the twine, the tiny little threads that make up the bigger piece of twine, they all become apparent. And so when I was in the process of shooting it, you know, I'm just trying to really look at the form that was created, you know, that day. I was trying to look at the shapes and the way the twine is sort of reacting to the light, creating shadows. But also with a macro lens, when you're working that tight on something, you know, you have a very, very slim sort of area of focus, which I found really important. I wanted to just highlight certain places in the form, you know, just so there's, so if you look closely, there's certain parts that are very, very sharp, very crisp, you know, and then there's a lot of areas that sort of fade in and out. And again, that all related back to this concept of thought and memory, sort of this idea that some things come into focus better than other places. Some memories are remembered a little more sharply than others. But as far as the process, you know, it was really just about reacting to the form itself and trying to make something that looked really beautiful. I mean, and that's the other part of this project is I'm dealing with these bigger issues, but you know, at the basis of it all, I'm still trying to sort of, you know, create something beautiful to look at, something interesting to look at.
And do you take these photographs digitally, or are you an old school guy? Are you using film and developing it yourself?
So I'm pretty old school. Most of my work has been pretty heavily influenced by traditional sort of darkroom work. I shoot a lot of film and process in the darkroom. I do a lot of alternative processes even, so historical processes like wet plate collodion and photogravure and some of these more obscure processes. I just like the real tactile nature of those processes, the hands-on, you know, working with materials. As this project sort of evolved, I did begin to include some digital images. So I think on my website there's a couple of color images that were shot digitally. I kind of go back and forth, but for the most part I shoot with film and I process in the darkroom. The bulk of the individual images of the ball of twine are all shot with film and printed in the darkroom.
So all your film developed photos and film shot photos, they're a little different because of the little different processes and the chemicals and the human touch it takes to develop a photo the old school way.
It's something, you know, I've done for, you know, basically since I started in photography, I was always more interested in the darkroom, working in black and white, you know, working with film. And, you know, I'm not extremely old, but when I did get into photography, digital hadn't really taken off yet, so film was really what I learned on, you know, whether it was color or black and white film. And that's just kind of where I've stayed, and I've really tried to figure out, you know, ways of using that old material and sort of in new ways. You know, I try to work with sort of more modern concepts in my work, and, you know, I do consider myself a contemporary artist sort of dealing with contemporary issues a lot, even though I'm using older materials. So I guess in some ways I'm trying to sort of breathe new life into them a little bit.
So when you were developing these photos in the darkroom, did you kind of see a photo unraveling in and of itself, you know, as you see it become a final product right before your eyes? It's almost like a ball of string unraveling in and of itself.
You know, as an artist, I think you go into making work with one sort of vision in your mind of what the work will be, but, you know, I'm always open to sort of what's happening in the moment, and that's another reason I love working in the darkroom is that you can go in on one day and I can have a totally, you know, I can have a plan of what I want to do and what I think I'm going to walk away with, but while I'm in there, you know, I could be reacting to what's happening in the moment with the chemistry, with the amount of light I'm putting on the paper as I'm printing. There's lots of variables that can happen sort of in the moment and that I can sort of alter. And so in that way, you're responding to the materials, which is something I really enjoy. And so yeah, you're right. I mean, it is about sort of that unraveling of an image of sort of you have to be open to what the materials are capable of and sort of what, you know, it could be different from day to day, which is part of the beauty of it.
So what can people expect to see when they walk into the Mezzanine Gallery?
I think when they walk into the gallery, you know, I hope the first thing they see is just the beauty of the images. I hope that's enough to sort of pull them in and tantalize them a little bit. They're kind of quiet images. You know, they're not big, colorful pieces or anything. They're simple, but I think they're very elegant images. They're the kind of images you kind of have to spend time with. And I hope that when people walk in, they can take the time to sort of work through the images slowly and think about what I'm trying to say and what I'm trying to do with these sort of simple but beautiful images.